We'll be reading this morning from 1 Peter, starting in chapter 1, verse 22, through chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22. Please listen as I read from God's word. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
This is Missions Emphasis Month for us here at Calvary Baptist Church. We choose the month of October every year that we would intentionally bring to our minds one of the cornerstone foundational visions we have as a church, is that we would be able to emphasize the gospel not only locally but globally. We put up flags and decorations to, again, bring our attention to the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not merely for Americans, not merely for Ohioans, not merely for people who live in our community. It literally is the same gospel all over the world for everyone who believes. Everyone could be saved, responding to the gospel message, the same message globally as well as that same message here locally. I grew up in a church that had a missions emphasis every year, and I was influenced by it. I was impacted by the fact that my home church, growing up from just a young child all the way up through my teen years, again and again and again, they emphasized in that church the importance of worldwide missions. I grew up in a big church, 10,000 people there every Sunday, and when we had missions emphasis, there were literally 300 missionaries that came together and had their displays. You know how we sometimes have our missionaries with a display out there in the lobby? Well, I grew up in a church where there were 300 of those displays in a whole separate building for that display to go on. And as I would go from booth to booth and table to table every year, growing up my whole entire life, I was given a vision of the fact that the gospel is for the world, not only my country, but for every country, not just my language, but for every language. And it was just, you know, driven into my heart and mind that this is the way the church operates. The church doesn't just care about the local folks that need to hear the gospel. We have simultaneously this a desire, a burden, a calling, a commission from God to do something that the whole world could hear. Television helps with that. Radio helps with that. Written literature, books, and all that that can be distributed worldwide. It all helps with that. But I'm glad that I had in my formative years that kind of emphasis. And I'm glad that we as a church, not nearly so large and maybe not on such a grand a scale, but consistently for us, we month after month, always bring to our attention. We pray every service that we have here for our supported missionaries and for the ongoing work that they have. When you walk in, there's a big display there, a map of the world with the pictures of the missionaries that we support. The reason we put it at the front door, not the back door, not down the hallway somewhere. The reason it's there is so that right up front, we continue to be reminded about the fact that when we give our offering every Sunday, a portion of that offering goes to our worldwide missions emphasis. So that just like you support in your giving and I support in my giving, the work here at our church, every Sunday, a portion of every gift we give in our overall budget is budgeted toward these 16 missionary families and 16 ministries that we support. And we pray for them as we begin our service here, and we pray that the Lord would have His will and way and work mightily through all of our supported work. And we bring that to our attention in a special way in the month of October. We've chosen this theme, Pastor Nate, who gives emphasis to our outreach ministry and missions ministry, along with our missions committee, have chosen for us this verse here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. And we bring this theme to our attention this month, Into His Marvelous Light. We kind of picture the darkness of the forest and the light streaming through the darkness there as a way of finding your way. Have you ever been in a forest and you've been walking along and, you know, the sun's gone down and all of a sudden you find yourself, well, you used to be able to find that trail in the forest, but now it's dark and you think, oh no, I'm going to be lost. I don't know. I can't find my way. I need, and then the moon pops out bright and once again you can find the trail in that dark forest. This picture that we're bringing to our attention in the month of October is the fact that there is a light for our way. In the midst of the darkness that we're in, there really is a marvelous light. And we want to be the ones to highlight that wonderful truth. It comes to us from this verse. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let's start at the ending of that verse. Called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Do you recognize the fact that you were born a sinner? That's the darkness we're talking about. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, if you just want to note it there, here's what it says. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Circle the word world in your Bible. Following the prince of the power of the air. Circle that phrase, prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. The spirit that now is work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh. Circle the word flesh. The darkness we're talking about here is the world, the flesh, and the devil. As this passage outlines, here's where our depravity comes from. It comes from us. We're innately sinners. We're born that way, and we act that way. And this world that we live in is a world that's characterized and dominated by all of us sinful people as cheered on by the devil himself, the prince of the power of the air. We are, however, called out of all of that darkness. God doesn't want us to stay in that darkness. He wants and is calling us out of darkness into what? We're called out of darkness, but we're called into what? Light. Oh, it's Pastor Rob. I better answer that call here. Hello, and thanks for calling. Yeah, so much for that call. When you get a call, you look at it, don't you? And you say, am I going to take that call or not? Am I going to take that call? Isn't that what you do? I know you do, because when my name pops up on your phone, you're going, I don't know. What's he going to ask me to do? I think I'll just let that go. Yeah, I get that a lot. Anyway, when you receive a call, you say, well, what am I going to do with that call, right? We are called out of darkness into, we're called into His light. When it's God calling, do you take the call? Now, when I saw Pastor Rob calling, oh, you know, we had prearranged that. I'm going to take that call, right? It's Pastor Rob calling. When you see it's God calling me out of darkness into His marvelous light, you take that call. That's the call that says you don't have to grope around in the darkness of your depravity and sin, following the world, the flesh, and the devil. You can be called into His marvelous light. After all, Jesus said, I am what? The light of the world. If you come to me, I will give you the light of life. That's the good news. Called out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know what that means? That means that people who respond to God's call out of darkness into light, those people are people of light. People who are characterized and their whole life is characterized by life. Who are those people? Let's look at it in the passage. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's start back in verse 22. It says this. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God, and it goes on to give all stress, it says, and then verse 2, so put away all malice and deceit and all that. People of light are called born again people. Since you have been born again. You know what that means? That means that you have had not only a physical birth, you've had a spiritual birth. You've been born a second time. We all have had a physical birth. We understand what that's like and that it comes on one particular day and time. There's an experience by which you are born. We all understand the biology of a physical birth. And what this passage tells us is that there is also a spiritual birth, another born experience. We know what it means to be born physically. What this is telling us about is that people of light have an experience on a particular day when they have been called out of darkness into light. Those people are called born again people. We are receiving life physically when we're born the first time. We're receiving life spiritually when we're born the second time. Those people of light, are called in the Bible born again people. Right here in our verse in chapter 2, verse 9, they're also called chosen people. But you are a chosen race. They're also called royal people, a royal priesthood. They're also called holy people, a holy nation. And they're called purchased people, a people for His own possession. His by virtue of His purchasing us, paying the sin debt for us. And so here's what people of light are. We're born again. We're chosen by His sovereign grace. We are this royal. He's the King of Kings, and we're born into His royal family. in this royal priesthood, having direct access to God through Christ himself. And we're called then to be separate from the world. That's the word holy. We are a holy kind of people, a kind of people that are not like everybody else, unique to ourselves, holy, because we've been purchased. We are his own people. That's what people of light are. We are born again, chosen, royal, holy, purchased. But then in this passage, we see that people of light do something. We see what we are, but what do people of light do? Here's what they do. Chapter 1, verse 22. It says here, having purified your souls by the obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart since you have been born again. People of light, love. Chapter 2, verse 1, people of light put away all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. So people love, people forsake, put away those sins. People of light, verse 2, grow like newborn infants, long for the pure, sincere milk that you may grow up into salvation. And people of light, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, they proclaim the excellencies of him who called you. So those four things. We know what people of light are. They're born again. They're chosen. They're royal. They're holy. But what do people of light do? Let's focus on those four things. Having established who we are, let's think through what we do. Number one, people of light love. How do they love? It says here they love with all their hearts. Love one another earnestly. That's with all your heart. Love one another from a pure heart. That's sincerely. Love one another with all your heart and love one another with a pure heart. Late Friday night and yesterday, Faith and I went up to see two of our kids and their kids over in Michigan. When we go to Michigan, two of the kids can get together. And so we had a few hours of birthday celebration, two of the little kids and Faith, their birthday celebrations yesterday. And so I got to spend a few hours down on the floor with four of my grandkids with a plastic teacup set. You know what I mean? A little plastic pink teacup and a little round teacup, little handles on that and little saucers, thank you. And so we got to play having tea with four of my little grandkids, and it's the same plastic pink tea cup that I used on the floor when Carissa was just, 1 year old. And so that same teacup thing has traveled through the years from playing with my kids to playing with my grandkids. And I get on the floor and play with them in this silly little teapot thing because I love them earnestly and sincerely. Why else would you do that on a Saturday morning? You could be doing the laundry or mowing the grass or any sane thing. But no, you'd drive all the way to Michigan to get out a little plastic teacup thing because you love your kids and your grandkids, and that just comes natural, right? It just is the natural thing you do because you love them with all your heart, sincerely. Christian, born again people just naturally love one another in the body of Christ. Why? It just comes natural because we've received the love of Christ. We'll get down and dirty on the floor if it takes it. We'll do things that we wouldn't normally do. Why? Because we've been called out of darkness into light. We've been born again. And consequently, we do what might have seemed unnatural, but seems very natural to us now. Why? Because we have experienced the love of Christ. We now are willing to pass on the love of Christ to others. Does that sound eerily familiar to a banner that we have up around this church all the time? Anybody see it? Point to it if you see it. Okay, you're all asleep. Every single person here is asleep. Where is it? Right there it is. Apparently, you can look in a whole lot of places in the Bible and find this same emphasis about born-again people. Right? Born-again people, people who have been called out of darkness into light, love one another earnestly and sincerely. And it kind of comes naturally because of the transformation God's worked in our hearts and lives. Is that evident in you? In us? Why would we do missions? What would motivate us? You know, it's that. It all comes down to this business of love. People of light love. People of light also forsake. Chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander. So there are five things here we're supposed to forsake. Let's say these five sins that we as a church are supposed to forsake. Let's say them all together. Say them with me, please. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Now add out loud your sin. Go ahead. That's a little nervous laugh we're all doing here. Oh, I'm not going to say my sin. It's okay to read a sin in the Bible, but my sin? Yeah, we are supposed to forsake sin. By the way, all sin. Wait a minute, how come there's only five sins listed here? Those must be the five sins. These aren't the only five sins. These just happen to be the ones listed here. You could have the list of every single sin listed here. You can go through the Bible and find a whole lot of list of sins. I guess the question is, what's yours? What's mine? You could probably tell me my sin better than I could tell myself my sin. You know me well enough to know what my sins are. Your spouse could probably give you a pretty good idea about what your sin is. You know, your friends probably give you a pretty good idea. And that's the very thing we're supposed to be forsaking. I go to the hospitals and nursing homes, I don't know, practically every day of my life because we're all sick. That's why I go there. You're sick. And sometimes when I go into a hospital room, there's a sign there supplies there. I have to put on gloves and a gown and a mask because when I go into that hospital room, there's this warning sign, protecting against contamination, disease, virus, spread, you know. So you walk in there, you know, like with a hazmat suit on, you know. How you doing? Oh, I feel great, thanks. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, we do everything we can do to keep from a virus getting into our lives. You know, the virus of whatever. We take special precaution. We don't want to touch that which would bring disease. Listen, sin is a disease. And sometimes we simply play with it. We're willing to play with that disease. We know how harmful a disease could be physically in our body. We take special precaution, care, and, you know, foam in and foam out and, you know, put the stuff on your glove. You know, we take all kinds of precautions, and we understand that's right, and that makes good sense. That's logical. And then we turn right around spiritually and play with sin. We don't want to forsake it. We want to enjoy it. But this passage says, born again people called out of darkness into light, avoid, forsake, put away sin. Is that the exercise of your heart toward that which is wrong? Or are you, like virtually everybody else in the world, just placating? Just, you know, get along. It's okay. Don't say anything about it. Don't, you know, just go along to get along. You know, why be there? Don't rock the boat. You know, keep your faith to yourself. Don't be vigilant about sin. But see, this passage says, no, that's not the way people of light live. When we find that sin, we eradicate it. We are energized about forsaking sin. People of light grow. Oh, wait, where is there a pillar of this church that has anything to do with forsaking sin and living a kind of a holy life? Any emphasis like that we give around here pretty regularly? Can you point to a banner that kind of emphasizes that to us? How about one that says living godly lives? Oh, that's beginning to look familiar here. And then it says we would long for the pure spiritual milk of the word. In other words, grow. Grow. How are we going to grow? By nutrition. The nutrition, the milk of the word of God. And what motivates me in that way? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. He talks about milk and the nutrition of the Word of God and the motivation to read it and to immerse ourselves in it. Because we've tasted. We've been called out of darkness into light. We see and we know that God is good and He's provided for our transformation of life. And that craving we have for God's Word is so great that it keeps calling us back to His Word to grow in it. And that's the very thing, the soil in which the spiritual life of the Christian is rooted so that it grows strong and firm and tall for Him. What food do you crave? I mean, right here, sitting there this morning, waiting for lunch, what are you craving? Asparagus? Broccoli? Carrots? Yeah, you have a craving, right? You want a pepperoni pizza. That's what you want. That's what you want. You want a burger and fries. And you know, the food that you crave, you don't have to call people twice. Dinner, come on to dinner. Boom, right there. If it's food that you're craving, you're there, you're hungry, you're thirsty, you're, give me that food. Right? Sometimes we have seems like such little taste for God's Word. And I wonder, have you really been called out of darkness into light? If it's such a pain to pull up to the table of God's Word? Where's your life? Where's the craving? And then here, in this passage, but you are a chosen people, a royal nation. And what happens to these people of His own possession? That, here's a purpose statement, that we've seen that we love, we forsake, we grow. By the way, is there a banner that talks anything about growing in the Word of God? Any kind of an emphasis there? Can you point to a banner kind of like that? Oh, learning God's Word, sure enough. What about that? And then, what's it say? That those kind of people who passed from darkness, called from darkness into light, those chosen people, holy people, purchased people, royal people, what do they do that in order that they would do what? Proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into light. So, people of light proclaim what specifically? What's the content of their proclamation? The excellencies of Christ. The word proclaim simply means to publish or to advertise, right? To make known. And if you've experienced the good news, you want to talk about the good news. You want to proclaim the excellencies, the virtues, the attributes of this Christ one, the anointed one, the Messiah one, the Redeemer one. There is no higher privilege than to be a herald for the gospel, right? You talked in casual conversations with people. It won't take very long. If you're a baseball friend from around here, it won't take very long for you to be talking about the Cleveland Indians because we're in the championship series, right? And we're not doing so well. But we're fans. What does it mean that we're fans? It means that we're what? fanatic fans. You know, we talk about them. We make known their, we can say, we've got the best pitchers. We've got the best hitters. Just didn't do it the last couple of games. But they are the best, you know. We talk about them. We proclaim their excellencies, right? You got a girlfriend, you know. You got a girlfriend. You're going to talk about it. You're going to talk about her. You're going to talk about how great she is, how pretty she is. You know, you're going to talk about it, right? I mean, if you're convinced about something, you're going to make it known. It's that same truth that Christians, born-again ones, proclaim the excellencies of our Savior, and we let the world know. We are proclaimers of it. How? Well, in this context here, in word and in deed. Chapter 3, verse 15 says that we should always be ready, prepared to make a defense to anybody who asks us for a reason of this hope. How come you have this hope? I've passed from darkness into light. So by my very lips, in word, I'm going to tell people about it. And not just in word, but in deed. For chapter 2, verse 12 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So both in word and in deed, by virtue of our lips and our lives, we are proclaiming the good news. We want to lead. Do you see a banner that emphasizes anything about proclaiming and talking and telling about others this good news of Christ? Do you see a banner like that? Do you see that this is what the church does? This is what people of light do. Talk about it in any terms you want to. People of light love, forsake, grow, proclaim, or learn, live, love, and lead. Talk about any, put any kind of terms on it you want. This is us. This is who we are and what we do. Is it you? I guess that's the question. So how can we do it? People of light can do these things to see that this happens. Specifically, that we would lead others to Christ. People of light give money to support the gospel, both the gospel proclamation locally and globally. We say, okay, that's worthy of our support, and I will make it a priority in my budget. I'm not just going to randomly, haphazardly, maybe I will, maybe I won't give. No, I'm going to say, if God's given me a way to make a living, I'm going to take a very generous portion of that and see to it that the proclamation of the gospel is well supported. Why? Because this is a matter of life and death, darkness and light. Eternal issues are at stake here. And I will gather to pray for our supported missionaries. I will then go to programs that promote missions. I just put Women's Missionary Union up there, but any number of them. In other words, I'm going to participate. I'm not just going to sit back. I'm not just let that be somebody else's job. I'm going to personally own it. I'm going to go on missions trips. If we support a missionary, I want to go see that missionary if I possibly can. Now, sometimes that's practically impossible, but what that, at least the very least I can do is come when they report on the work that they do, when we hear from the Bows, who are our missionaries in Germany. Well, I'm going to be here that Sunday. That's not a Sunday I'm going to skip. No siree. I'm coming because I want to hear what God's doing through our supported work around the world, and on and on and on that goes. This particular month, we're hearing, we got to hear from New Day Family Resource Centers. Thank the Lord for some things locally that are going on here. We're going to hear from church planting work from the Schaeffers next Sunday. We're going to hear the president of Baptist Association of Baptists of World Evangelism. We're going to hear from the president of that missionary organization this month. We're going to hear from the Bows, who are missionaries in Germany that we've been supporting. On and on, we want to bring to our attention, we want you to see people who are devoted to this cause, and we want to be energized about it. We want to get involved in pre-evangelism. In other words, acts of kindness, acts of righteousness. We want to live right so we can speak right. We want to We want to live in such a way that people will believe us when we talk about a transformation of life that can come from the gospel, right? If we don't live it, who's going to listen to us? They're going to say, oh, it's just another level of hypocrisy. It's just another religious mumbo jumbo that nobody believes. Have you ever given your story to someone else by way of witnessing? Have you ever given them your testimony? You may sometimes people say, oh, I wouldn't know what to say, witnessing to somebody to tell people how to be saved. I really wouldn't know what to say. Couldn't you just tell them what happened to you? Couldn't you just, I mean, if you've been born again, couldn't you just relate? Here's what I believe. Couldn't you just tell the story about how you came to believe it? We sometimes say, well, that's my testimony. Well, call it any term you want to call it, but it's just telling your story of conversion. Tell your story. Well, you may say, well, I don't have a dramatic story. I wasn't in a foxhole in a war zone somewhere and missiles flying overhead and bullets flying, and I prayed and asked the Lord to save me, and he saved me in the foxhole. Okay, I'm not talking about that kind of story. I'm talking about a conversion of heart story. That's the story of conversion. We're talking about being called out of darkness into light. It doesn't have to be dramatic about a car accident or cancer disease. It's the conversion of your heart that you talk about. Going public with your faith. Intentionally being public. You know, in conversation. In your work space. Where appropriate, at the right times. I'm not saying not doing your work or your job well, but I'm saying being a public, not a secret Christian. That means in social media. That means in every way that we are out there in the public. Giving your own life to be a missionary. The Bible uses terms like you are ambassadors for Christ. You are witnesses. In other words, you've experienced something that you can give witness to. You could become a pastor, a deacon, a servant, a herald. All of those terms in the Bible of people who respond to the call, right? And you say, well, I don't want to be a missionary. Well, why? Why? Well, I don't want to be one of those professional Christians. Why? Why not you? How else shall they hear? How then can they know salvation has come through Jesus' name? Who else should he send? What others should go? I answer the call to tell his grace. We all sang together. Right? We answer the call. I pray regularly, and I hope you pray regularly, that God would be pleased to call out from among us, our church family, those who would serve him in full-time vocational ministry, missionary or pastor or just whatever. But why wouldn't he call out from us, people who would do that, to advance the cause? Sure, we all need to do our jobs every day and right here where we are, and that's terrifically important, and that's all valid and all the rest. But still, some God would call. Are we listening? Are we praying that God would send forth those laborers into his harvest? People of light shine the light. That's the point. People of light shine the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He's like the sun. Right? He's like the sun. He also says in Scripture that we are the light of the world. Well, how can he be the light and how can we be the light? Well, he's the light like the sun and we're the light like the what? Moon. We reflect the light. So as he is the generating source of life, we are the reflected source of life, light. We reflect who he is. I am holy, he says, but you're called. We are called. People called out of darkness into light. We're called to be holy. He is the light of the world, but we are the light of the world in so much as we reflect his light. So what would our next steps be? Are you living as a person of light, born again, chosen royal person you? Are you living as a person of light? Is your life clean enough to represent Christ? Having forsaken malice and envy and jealousy and deceit and go on and on and on? Have you grown in your ability to explain the gospel? Could you be an accurate witness to the truth? Does it sound good to you to spend your life proclaiming the truth about Christ? 3 years ago today, my father passed away. He was almost 90 years old. You know, it's one of the privileges of my life to have been raised in a Christian home by a Christian mom and dad, and by parents who lived out the Christian life. I thank the Lord for that privilege. My dad lived that out almost 90 years. I watched him growing up as the Sunday school superintendent of my church. At that time, back in the 70s, he was the volunteer Sunday school superintendent of the largest Sunday school in the world. He was a deacon in church. He ran a bus route, you know, back when you used to run a bus route to bring people to church, and ran a bus every Saturday out, inviting people in, putting them on a bus route, bringing them to church, teaching a Sunday school class, being the Sunday school superintendent. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night visitation, Saturday morning visitation. One of those kind of people, you know. That was my dad. He worked for the Southern Railway. I mean, the way he made a living was, you know, working for the railroad. But what he did with a passion was represent Christ. Right? Normal people called out of darkness into light. I'm remembering him today because this is the day he went to be with the Lord. 3 years ago. But do you have people like that in your life that really just live the light? Are you that for somebody? Here's the good news. You can be born again today. You can be called from darkness into light. Just listen to the call. When the Lord calls you out of darkness into light, recognize that it's Jesus that's calling you as your substitute and Savior when He died on the cross for you, paying your sin debt on the cross. So repent of your sin. Receive eternal life from Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just so that we can focus. Nothing holy about that, but we do want to be able to really focus upon our response to this passage of Scripture. In other words, to God. He's calling us to not be like the world. All the world and all the television programs and movies and everything, there's a certain way the world lives and operates. We're holy. We're different than that. I guess the question is, are we though? Do we really forsake sin? Do we really love one another? Do we really proclaim this truth? All of those things. We forsake every sin that comes tempting in our lives. So Lord, help us to be responsive to your call when you call to answer the call. To see it as important. Respond sincerely to it. Perhaps in the quietness of this moment as you're reflecting, maybe you'll write out on that card that you put your name on some aspect of your response to the Lord today. To be saved, that'd be wonderful. We'd love to know that. Maybe after this service is over, maybe you'll take a moment to we'd love to pray with you if you'll write down on that card how we can pray for you and your response to the Lord today. Maybe it has something to do with living as people of light. So Lord, help us toward that goal to deal honestly with the truth, to have a real hunger for the truth of your word and to respond to it today. In your name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, we surrender afresh and anew so that we, as people who are called from darkness into light, would live like people of light. Because we love you, help us to love one another. Lead others to you. Because we've learned the truth of the gospel from your word, and we reflect it in the way we live and in the way we give. In your name we pray.